Down with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are this evening. It's the 22nd day of July, 2015. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com. That's where we live. And for this particular 22nd day of July, 2015, The Horn lives in a hole in the ground. And by that, I mean we are $400. We've got $400 fundraising to do to maintain equilibrium with the bills. 10 at 40, 40 at 10. One at 400, two at 200, four at 100, God, eight at 50, 16 at 25, 32 at $12.50, and we're there. And I'm back in the chat room, glory hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Good evening to Anatole and Jug of Punch and Texas P, capably moderated by third stage guild navigator Sparky, who has folded space to become Man Cave this evening. Thank you very much, Randy and PA, loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac top. Much obliged. I'm going to do my best to get through a program this evening, but a few minutes before airtime, and why these things have to happen a few minutes before airtime, like reboots, computer crashes, massive thunderstorms with electrical activity, things like that. Well, today's just before airtime crummy thing was my blood sugar falling through the floor. So I'm a little shaky right now. But Nurse Agnes is sitting here by my side in case I go whoop and fall out of the chair, which I hope I don't. But I started feeling kind of icky and dry mouthed and stuff, and went and checked my blood sugar, and, you know, it was 60 and heading down. And for me, my metabolism, if my blood sugar drops below, much below 90, I start shaking and sweating. For me to see 60 is almost unheard of, and I mean, it's not nice. So I have been eating peanut butter and crackers and drinking fruit juice for all I'm worth in hopes of, having a prayer meeting Wednesday miracle and getting, two miracles in one. A, closing the fundraising gap, and B, getting my blood sugar back up into the neighborhood where humans live. I mean, I'm sure this is awesome blood sugar for an ocelot or a lemur, but it sucketh as a human. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn. And while I can, in fact, chew with real distinction, it's a little bit difficult to do while doing this. So I'll probably be slurping at grape juice. Otherwise, you wind up with Limbaugh Radio. That guy gave up on any standards a while back. Yeah, I think it eats popcorn, you know, slurps pudding, that kind of whatever. So we're gonna we'll see how it all. I mean, I have consumed a prodigious amount of peanut butter and crackers in the last 10 minutes. It should be enough to raise things back up, but we'll wait and see. If Agnes senses that I'm going south, she'll shoot me. She'll take the usual Thorazine dart injector, the Thorazine dart and just fill it with glucose and just right in the neck and I'll be happy. Robert in Australia with a note. Crikey, Bob, take the night off. Look after yourself first. Well, I think I already did look after myself. It's just a matter now of letting it kick in. But maybe with your indulgence, I'll forego the hooting and hacking and coughing and tongue speaking that goes with prayer meeting Wednesday, and we'll just move into some fun stories instead. Oh, by the way, if you prefer to help support the Horn via the U.S. Postal Service, the mailing address here is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. That's for checks and money orders made payable to the Horn and not to Bob Kincaid, as Bob does not see same. And I'm getting through stuff like that without speaking jabberwock, so maybe everything's going to be okay. Now, where to be? I mean, we've got lots of prayer meeting Wednesday material, and I'm being told let Lady Agnes take over and take better care of myself. Thank you, Marty. I'm not taking poor care of myself. That's the thing. When diabetes is a metabolic condition, and you can try really hard to, you know, make sure you eat regular, ordinary meals, and you've got nutritious snackies and things like that. But every now and then, this is going to happen, and this is something that's happened to me all my life. I mean, I remember being in grade school and not understanding why I was suddenly shaking and sweating and feeling like a rag doll with its sawdust cut. And that's why I married a nurse, exactly, dear. But it is unpleasant. Why do they want to ask me these questions during airtime? But it really does. It just happens. And then you just find yourself running insanely around going, cracker, give me cracker! Peanut butter, must have peanut butter. And, by the way, peanut butter is it's a lovely, lovely substance and a delicious food, in fact. But it is a bitch to work with when you're in the broadcast business. This is the Horn. Yeah. No. Another note coming in. I don't recommend Agnes just step over your body and take the mic, but I trust her to know when to shut shit down. You got her. Do you hear her giggling in the background? That's good when you get Agnes. When you get Agnes giggling, when you get Agnes Viking Warrior Princess giggling, you've accomplished something. No, we have prayer meeting Wednesday today, and we have an array of heroic tales of faith from the right-wing religion industry. Remember, your First Amendment to the Constitution now exists only as a life support system for the religion industry. And I hate to admit it, but, well, there's a... Oh, let's do this first before we go into the really gross stuff. Let's have a giggle. Thank you, Randy. Randy's saying, I admire your fortitude, Bob. I don't know if it's fortitude or not. It's more like, what the hell else am I supposed to do between 6 and 9 p.m. of any given weekday evening?
Why are you looking at me?
I'll help you out. I'm not looking at you. I didn't look at you. You eyeballing me? That's what I... You eyeballing me? So naturally, being as how it's prayer meeting Wednesday, we have to run down to where else South Carolina stand. Darren Squires is pastor of the Socastic Original Free Will Baptist Church. And that is the Socastic Original Free Will Baptist Church, not the Socastic Mexican Free Will Baptist Church or the Socastic Second Free Will Baptist Church. No, this is the real bad the original bad Socastic Free Will Baptist Church. You may not know what that's a take on. That comes from that line where the Stacy Keach character, Bad Bob, rides into town there in Vinegaroon, Texas, in The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. No, it wasn't Mexican Bad Bob. It was the original Bad Bob, the mean one. Yeah. But anyway, he's pastor of the Socastic Original Free Will Baptist Church, and he wants Governor Nimrata Nikki Haley there in South Carolina to sign an executive order for it. It's kind of a strange thing because Darren Squires proclaims himself to be absolutely A-okay with LGBT people, LGBTQQQ, Pastor Brother Minister Squires, however, wants an executive order from South Carolina Governor Nimrata Nikki Haley that would allow pastors to legally discriminate against gay people and throw them out of the building, have them removed from the church premises if the pastor knows them to be all, you know, gay and stuff. Okay. By the way, here's the fun part. Pastor Brother Minister Darren Squires has a Facebook page. Wow, don't they always, and don't they put the really fun stuff on them? Yeah, you can't see the picture, but Agnes can. Here, Agnes, here's Pastor Brother Minister Darren Squires in his Devil's Diaper Confederate flag T-shirt, which apparently is also, unless that's a really, really synchronistically coincident stain, a map of the United States, because the two crossed bars of the St. Andrew's cross form a red V up by the neck, although it's not a V-neck, don't misunderstand me. But honey, ain't them the Great Lakes?
I thought he just had a dirty shirt on.
Okay, maybe it's not Lake Michigan. Wait a minute.
No, it's not
Schmutz on the monitor. Honest to Jesus, one of those stains on his dirty Confederate flag T-shirt looks a hell of a lot like Lake Michigan, only inside out. Because Lake Michigan should be over to the right, and Lake Superior should be a... What in the wide, wide world of sports is it going on here? Yeah, he's a tolerant Christian, Pastor Brother Minister Squires is. But he's worried about other ministers who aren't as tolerant as him. And he says, it doesn't matter if a man goes with a man, that's his choice. My problem is they're going to try to make us who do not believe in that have to bow down and accept them. You know, there's always some bowing down with the homosexual men's. Well, I might not be okay, Agnes.
I'll be back.
Yeah, no, you won't. You're running away.
I'm sorry, between bow down and that man's really bad choice in attire, I just can't do it.
It's got to be an inside-out American flag or American map T-shirt or something. I swear that's Lake Michigan.
Well,
But he doesn't want to bow down in front of any homosexual men's, because the next thing you know, well, you know how it goes with evangelical fundamentalist Christian pastors. One minute they're bowing down, the next thing they got a man in their mouth, or they're snorting, they're bowing down and snorting meth off a gay hooker's butt. Whatever happened to Pastor Hagee? Not Pastor Hagee. Starve! No, come on. Out in Colorado Springs, of course. I think his name started with an H, too, didn't it? Oh, no. Not Falwell. Dang it. Well, anyway, there's only one problem with the, and we use the term loosely in regard to pastor, brother, minister, squires, reasoning involved with his request. It is utterly unnecessary. Churches cannot legally be forced to alter their doctrine if they are irrevocably committed to a misunderstanding of Scripture, and thereby committed to hating people for how they love each other. Or, in fact, for even getting married to each other. Nothing. I mean, this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Devin, just absent. So this is PMW. I thought PMW was what I needed after listening to this show. You're being naughty. Prayer Meeting Wednesday, just absent the shtick. He said, we're trying to protect the church from being sued for standing for what we believe. Yeah, because there's just a whole bunch of circuit judges out there in South Carolina stand who are itching to impanel juries. And juries in a state that's probably 95% Christian to hear a case of discrimination brought. Well, no, see, that's the fun part. Even if some radical homosexual was to say, sue a church because they did. Ted Haggard, thank you, Danny. I knew it started with an H. Ted Haggard was the evangelical fundamentalist, traditional family values, one man, one woman marriage preacher out in Colorado who got caught snorting meth off a gay hooker's butt. And thank you, Robert, as well. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free. Oh, I should have it memorized by now. And maybe if my blood sugar wasn't like 6.5, I would. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That free press part's all just bullshit now. And the peaceably assemble part is too. And the petition of the government for redress of grievances. Remember, General Wesley Clark may very well want people put in camps for that. But that religion industry part is alive and well. And it supports a multi-billion dollar tax-exempt industry. And you can sue a church. You can. I mean, let's say they default on their mortgage. You can sue them. The bank can sue them. Banks can always sue people. In most states, let's say you slip, trip, and fall because they didn't mop up the communion wine there after the big communizing. Wait, what? Don't say it that way, Bob. But let's say somebody slips, trips, and falls and gets injured. You can sue for that. Let's say the congregation has a contract with a preacher, and it's a 5-year contract, and they decide to toss him out on his butt after year 1.5 because suddenly he decides he doesn't want to discriminate against gay people. Well, the preacher can sue for breach of contract. Whether he wins or not is another matter. No, Devin. No, thank you. A cup of sugar and a cup of Cuban turbo coffee will write you. No, because there's caffeine involved with that, and it might get my sugar back up, but it'd have my heart rate going about 300 beats a minute. And this program, if I was jacked up on Cuban coffee, this program would just sound like a high-pitched squeal. I'd be talking so fast. But no, there's no way to sue a church for doctrinal issues. Now, I suppose if maybe there was some, well, I don't know, with Hobby Lobby and with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, I'm not sure. Yes, exactly like that, Devin. Nice little graphic from the chat room showing dancing broccoli going about a million beats a minute. Yeah. But, no, you can't. Huh. You know, the Religious Freedom, human sacrifice, could you, Santeria and, you know, dead chickens and rosaries? I don't think so. Bring back the Mithras cult. That's what I want to do. I want to stand in a pit and have a bull slaughtered above me and just be really washed in the blood. That's where that line comes from, after all. But, no, this guy's just a moron. I know. Monday. Second base. But, and that exposes, of course, the fundamental. See what I did there? Failing at the of the paranoia that infects and infests the right-wing religion industry in this country. They are absolutely convinced that the secular liberals is a-coming to get their Bibles. Now, here's some fun. I have a feeling this is something that has probably at some point in time occupied the minds or imaginations, really, of most of the folks in the Horn Family Commune congregation. And that is to see a religion industry hustler taken down. It just happened. All the president and candidates in the GOP are wandering around Iowa. You can't swing a dead cat in Iowa right now without hitting a Republican presidential contender. Hey, did I tell you about my personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, so enter Pastor, Brother, Governor, Diabetes, Snake Oil Salesman Mike Huckstervey. A man named Rod Weber was at a Q&A for Pastor, Brother, Governor Huckstervey. And raised his hand politely and asked a question. Or three. You kind of want to hear this. This is good. Oh.
more government has to do with it, the better it is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'll give you one. I'm not really a political person, but I have a bet with a friend. You're a religious person, right? You're Christian.
I'm a believer, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. So he gets on about the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And about three different points here. I think it was Proverbs 22:9. He who is bountiful of the eye, he gives food and bread.
Uh-oh, this guy's citing scripture. Pastor, brother, Governor Huckstery might be in trouble. So we're going to Proverbs, are we?
And about three different points here. I think it was Proverbs 22:9. He who is bountiful of the eye, he gives food and bread to the poor,
mm-hmm.
Which goes against the conservative ideology of entitlement. Second one is...
By the way, I might note, since we're doing audio and not video, this guy has a really big, bushy beard. That'll become important.
Revelation 11:18, destroy the destroyers of the earth, which goes against the anti-environmentalist stand that conservatives often take. And finally, it's thou shalt not kill, which kind of gets in the way of the being at war all the time thing.
Let me take all three of those as best I can. If I miss one, make sure I hit them. The first one had to do with dealing with the poor. We absolutely have a responsibility for the poor. But it is...
Yeah, isn't it cute that there's always a but when you're talking to an evangelical fundamentalist about the poor? We have a responsibility to the poor, but... I wonder what that but is.
We absolutely have a responsibility for the poor. But it is the responsibility of me as an individual believer. It is not something I pawn off on the government. The reason that the government is in the poverty business and the welfare business is because the church got out of the welfare business. It was.
Well, how about, you know, they're heaven forfend, as the saying goes, but maybe there's some truth in that. Maybe the church did get out of the poverty business. Maybe the church got out of the poverty business and got the real estate business. Or maybe the church got out of the poverty business and got into the exercise gym business. Maybe the church got out of the poverty business and got into the bowling alley business. Water slides, theme parks, Jesus land, swimming pools, movie stars. But there has never been a time from the founding of the church to the present when the church has had sufficient resources to deal with all the poor sufficiently. Of course, it's also critical to note that the church does not necessarily deal ecumenically with the poor. You got to say a prayer if you want your bowl of beans. Got to believe our crazy stuff if you want your crust of bread. Mm-hmm. And being religion, and this is why the previous story came before this one, there's not much you can do about that. Granted, they're tax-free, and there's a little bit of a largely ignored proscription through the IRS code against politicking from the pulpit, but that's about it. I mean, for instance, a church would be completely within its rights if a couple of gay guys or a couple of lesbians walked up and said, "We're poor, we're starving, please feed us," and they said, "No, for you are violating the covenant made by God and some Bronze Age people a couple of 4,000 years ago, so you need to starve." See how it works? So I don't think the church really got out of the feed the poverty business. The church kind of never was particularly good at it. I mean, look at Mother Teresa's work. Everybody gets all misty-eyed over Mother Teresa. She didn't do that much. And when it came time for her to die, they whisked her away to a nice, comfy little hospital where she died in a comfortable little bed. Poverty may have been okay for them, but not for her. No. No.
Always the responsibility of people to give a dime out of each dollar they earn to take care of the widows and the poor. And not take care of people who wouldn't work, but to take care of people who couldn't work. Here's a big difference.
And you know what? Pastor, brother, governor, diabetes, snake oil salesman Mike Huxterby thinks that the poor, notice how he says the poor, are largely made up by people who will not work as opposed to those who cannot work. Never mind the fact that there are people who are working their asses off in this country who, no matter whether they've got one job, two jobs, three jobs, if they've got any kind of a sizable family, can't adequately feed them. Hence the discussion we had a couple of nights ago about the fact that that my local grocery store now has an entire aisle dedicated to ramen noodles. Mm-hmm. And see, Mike Huxterby, it defeats his own argument this way, because you see, if you leave it to the church to decide who is admirably poor enough, legitimately poor enough to be provided, you know, food or shelter, then you're going to have a lot of starving people. Whereas if we, the people, under the auspices of the government we created in order to form a more perfect union and provide for the general welfare, but we'll forget that's there because Fat Tony, Uncle Nino, forgot that it's there. He says that's just window dressing language. It has no legal force and effect, the preamble. He would know. I mean, he's an originalist and everything. But if you let we the people do it non-sectarianly, non-religiously, and with the guidelines in place from the Constitution and with the protections in place, things like due process and equal protection, then you can make sure that it is fairly administered. Whereas if you leave it to a minister, you'll have to put un in front of fairly.
Because the same Bible that says we ought to care about the poor also says if you don't work, you don't eat. Same Bible. And there's a real sense in which the way the Scripture teaches that there are people who are into poverty because of illness or infirmity, because of the family circumstances, widowhood, for example, then we all collectively should do everything possible to make sure that they don't starve to death.
Not that they are adequately fed, but that they do not starve to death. You know, there's a substantial difference between the two. Not starving is not the same as adequate and proper nutrition. And in point of fact, it is noteworthy that we are finding out in this country that you can tie adequate nutrition directly to whether or not children learn. We know, as a matter of fact, and this is an article in Slate by Laura Moser. Texas Betsy sent this along. New data on child well-being released Tuesday by the Annie E. Casey Foundation make for depressing reading on many levels, not least because the findings are so deeply unsurprising. The basic gist is that despite the economic recovery, Wall Street recovered. I guess that's what counts. More kids are living in poverty today than during the recession. Hello, austerity. Hello, cuts to food stamps. Yeah. Roughly 22% or 16 million children in the United States are living in poverty as of 2013. That's up 4 percentage points from 5 years earlier. And that's not just because there are more kids, that is an expression. No. 39% of African-American children are in poverty. 33% of Hispanic kids are in poverty. Here's where it gets interesting. The Annie E. Casey Foundation tracked educational data that went from preschool to the end of high school. Uh, 66% of students, and that would be 55% of non-Hispanic white kids and more than 80% of black and Latino kids, are not reading proficiently by fourth grade. And if you haven't gotten reading down by fourth grade, everything else kind of falls apart thereafter. Two-thirds of American children lack sufficient skills to read adequately in fourth grade. Interestingly, you can track it economically. Higher income students are 31 points ahead in reading proficiency, 31 points. And that is up from 26 percentage points 8 years ago. And it's not just because they're going to the right schools, it's because they have adequate nutrition. This is real. The idea of hunger has real-world consequences. But remember, Pastor Brother Mike Huxterby, well, all we want to do is keep them from starving. Which is, of course, to be expected, because that's a conservative position. If they're just above starvation, they'll pretty much do what they're told, won't they?
Are into poverty because of illness or infirmity, because of the family circumstances, widow, for example, then we all collectively should do everything possible to make sure that they don't starve to death. I look at that.
But why don't you take that as your role in government?
Do what now?
Well, I mean, why, as in government, why don't you decide to take that on?
Why wouldn't the government do it?
Well, it seems that that's not the standard.
Well, if government is God, if government is your God, then that makes perfect sense. And to a lot of people, government is their God.
But
government doesn't have to be God in order to take care of to feed the poor, clothe the naked. Mm-mm. Government need merely be a manifestation of we the people's political will. And that's what the Constitution says, but it says it is. Now, if it has become something else, that's on us. It's not on anybody but us. We let that happen. That happened on our watch and the watch of the generations before us. And it is worth noting that we have Social Security, because by the time the Social Security Act was passed, we had brutal starvation problems among our elderly. And it was a national shame. Naturally, Social Security has to go. I mean, these are austerity arguments, and God knows it's working so well in places like Greece, austerity is. It's working so well that people are rioting in the streets over it. Meanwhile, sitting in the pews there at the First Apostolic Holiness Baptist Temple and Herpetological Sanctuary, You might get some starch and carbs eating the thin papers out of the hymnals, but you're not going to get much in the way of protein or real sustenance. Yeah, I know. Mo Liberal says, I hate this phony POS. Cancer always takes the wrong people. Well, evil is a preservative. I bet a shark wouldn't even eat Mike Huckabee as a matter of professional courtesy. Do continue on, though.
God is not my government. I mean, government is not my government.
But then why does it get brought into things like the abortion debate and et cetera?
Why does it what? No.
Yeah, get into the abortion debate and things like gay marriage.
Well, abortion has to do only with the fact that we want to protect people who are innocent, the same way we want to protect the widow.
Let me ask you, I would agree with you.
Okay, I know, but I'm asking, do you think there's any such thing as a life that doesn't have value? Is there such a thing?
Absolutely not. I'm a vegetarian. I don't believe in eating animals for that reason.
All right.
And also, I grow the beard because...
Uh-oh, here it comes. This is the fun part.
It's a sin to shave. You know, you shave. And this is what the Bible says.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Leviticus, there's more passages about shaving being a sin than there is about homosexuality.
Okay, I think there were three things you wanted to ask me about.
Yeah, he's going to get away from the shaving in a real hurry because he's busted. It's there in Leviticus. You shall not round off the hair. Thou shalt not round off the hair on thy temples, nor mar the edges of your beard. You got to be a raggedy ass looking. Yeah. That's a common theme that runs through two of the Abrahamic religions, Islam and mostly hardcore right-wing ultra-Orthodox Judaism. No hair, no shaven. If we all followed that the literal statements of the Old Testament, Gillette would be out of business. And that's of course men folks. But Pastor Brother Governor Mike is going to run away from that one. Let's see, there's that. And he's right. There are more verses about proper hair grooming, or not grooming it at all, than there are about two guys having sexy time.
Now you shave, and this is what the Bible says.
I don't remember that.
Leviticus, there's more passages.
They shall not make bald patches on their heads or shave off the edges of their beards. That's Leviticus 21:5. Bald patches. Because, see, the heathen Egyptians had done that. Probably a hygiene thing. Heat, lice, shave the head. Made the wigs fit better, too. And the glue-on beard for the pharaoh. Press on.
...is about shaving being a sin, and there is about homosexuality.
Okay, there were three things you wanted to ask me about. One was the poor.
You did a follow-up, but so, yeah.
Okay.
Let's move to the next one.
Second one was...
Revelation 11:18, which is about environmental
observations. I'm a conservationist. I believe that God made the heavens and the earth. It's His. It doesn't belong to me. I'm a steward of the resources.
Stewardship, yeah, and Genesis, right?
All right. Let me answer it. You got to ask it. Let me answer it.
Oh, sir, sir.
Okay. As a steward, like in Genesis, it makes it very clear that all the things that God made, He made for us to use.
This, then, is that little passage right there is what identifies Pastor, Brother, Governor, Diabetes, Snake Oil Salesman Mike Huckabee as a dominionist. We are to take dominion over all the things in the earth. And we can use them as we see fit. We can blow up, if you believe in God, we can blow up God's mountains. We can poison God's rivers. We can acidify God's seas. And everything's going to be okay because magic. It really doesn't work that way. we have to live here. But the thing is, if you live in a gated community, then you don't have to worry about the acidified seas, or you think you don't, or the poisonous air. You think you don't. I mean, even Newsweek magazine had an article in the last couple of days. I posted it over at the AHEC page, Appalachian Community Health Emergency, noting that you're just a hell of a lot more likely to die of cancer in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone than you are elsewhere in the country because of what you have to breathe. But if that's, well, I mean, that's just God's will to Mike Huckstorby. Because money. Because taking dominion of the earth, over the earth in his world also means making money off of it.
Not for us to abuse, but for us to use. Those resources are there to give us the ability to live better. And we're not to abuse them. We're not to destroy them because they don't belong to us.
Question. If those resources are there to help us make our lives better, why didn't the Almighty Creator of the universe put it where folks could get at it? Why are we only using oil and gas and coal in, say, the last 150 years of human existence? And by oil, I mean, you know, hydrocarbon dinosaur goo oil. I mean, we've had, well, the Romans used fish oil lamps. Those must have just smelled lovely. And whale oil, of course, and various and sundry vegetables, olive oil, sesame oil. The ancient peoples of the Valley of Mexico, I believe they crushed avocados for oil. That could be nice. And see, just as it is with ever so many issues, these freaks, like Huckstorby, rely on one verse and ignore others. His Bible speaks specifically to stewardship and to what that means, as the guy quoted from Revelation, destroy the destroyers of the earth, right? Yeah, but still.
That belong to him. Now, as a conservationist, I believe very, very strongly taking good care of the earth and its resources. I do not believe, however, in worshiping them and elevating them above human beings, because that would be totally against the teaching of Scripture. And the third thing about thou shalt not kill, technically the words, because I said it in the...
Thou shalt not murder.
Thou shalt not murder. And murder is to take the life of a person without cause, without reason. But if you're engaged...
Oddly enough, that does not apply to a woman who chooses not to carry a pregnancy to term. She may have all the good reasons in the world, such as, I'm about to give birth to a baby who is going to live its life in horrible poverty, like I do. I don't mean me, I mean like the mother, say, perhaps. But that's not a sufficient reason not to bring something into the world that isn't even aware, isn't even conscious of its own existence. Mm-mm. No, the reasons for killing people are reasons that only people like Pastor Brother Governor, diabetes snake oil salesman Mike Huckstorby can be entrusted with.
It's in a war, and there are many, many scriptures that deal with the fact that there are evil people. Then it is not murdering someone.
It's just in modern society, it seems like we'd have non-lethal ways. We've got all these drones flying around.
Well, let me put it this way. If somebody breaks into my house at 2 o'clock in the morning and they have a gun...
I get what murder is.
No, I'm just going to explain to you. They come into my house at 2 o'clock in the morning, and maybe I don't have time to ask them, I'm sorry, do you have a gun? Here's what's going to happen to them. I'm going to call 911, But I'm not calling to wait 20 minutes to the cops to get to my house to see if maybe I can helplessly wait. I'm going to take the call to 911, and I'm going to tell them where to come pick up the body of the idiot who broke into my house at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, that's not murder. That's self-defense.
I get that. But I mean, Obama's just, it seems like, willing.
Except for that whole turn the other cheek part. And except for that part where his God, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, says turn the other cheek. Or he says, he also says, because remember, somebody's burglarizing Pastor Brother Governor Mike Huckabee's house. Which means, of course, that Pastor Brother Governor Mike Huckabee has something worth stealing. Well, his God tells him, has already told him, to take everything he has and give it to the poor and to then follow Christ. You know, him. But Pastor Brother Governor Mike Huckabee's not doing that. And hence he has laid up treasures here on earth that other people might feel the need to steal. I wonder if you can go over to Pastor Brother Governor Mike Huckabee's presidential campaign website and buy one of those little rubber wristbands with WWJS on it. You know, who would Jesus shoot?
Nearly with the drones. I mean, if you were in charge, yeah. You're the president. I mean, it would seem to me that there'd be some way not to just blow up every civilian in the Middle East.
I wouldn't blow up every civilian, but by gosh, I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that raises their hand against this country, they can explain.
Well, I'm talking about the civilians.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's been a lot of civilian deaths under his drone watch.
There may have been. There haven't been enough terrorist death under his watch. That's part of the problem.
Hadn't killed enough terrorists. I mean, that good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered George W. Bush, I mean, he knew how to kill some terrorists, even though we invaded Iraq and it didn't have nothing to do with 9/11. But we did kill a million civilians who didn't have nothing to do with making war on the United States, neither. And we sure taught them a lesson. Oh, wait, we didn't. They're still at it. So that's a look. That's a look, just a beginning for this prayer meeting Wednesday. And I want to thank, because even though we didn't play the offertory hymn and do the whole with every head bowed and every eye closed thing, we did get some help in the collection plate. Thank you very, very kindly to Barry. And thank you most kindly to Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa noting, no coal, no jobs! So we've taken an $80 bite out of the evening's fundraising goal. We've got $320 to go. And I told you at the beginning of the program I wasn't doing great. Yes, in point of fact, in answer to a question, it was W who said he didn't care. Hey, Bin Laden is not one of our priorities now. I mentioned that I was not feeling great at the beginning of the program, and I'm still not feeling great. I hate to do it to you guys. But I think I'm going to, because I'm sitting here and still pouring sweat, and just ain't right. So hopefully, just the same, we will get through. We'll get out of this hole. But I'm going to go and keep eating peanut butter or something until my blood sugar comes back up and I stop feeling like crap. I apologize. I'm sorry. But this is not fun. And I just, my concentration's not right. And I just feel icky. I'm sure everything will be okay by tomorrow. It's just not okay right now. Yeah, Marty, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Marty says, perhaps you should take a sick day today and take some rest. After all, tomorrow is another day. So with very kind thanks to you all, I will take my leave now. I'll start up last night's rerun, and then I'm just going to go and see if I can feel better. So thank you very kindly, one and all. I appreciate your kind attention. And, yeah, we'll get after it tomorrow evening. Thanks a bunch. Yeah, I think I'm going to, Lottie telling me some fruit will bring your blood sugar up faster and safer. Maybe I can get Agnes to run up the road and get me some oranges. That'd be yummy. Y'all have a good night.